Hebrews chapter 4, and Father, I pray right now again that you would just direct our hearts to you. We give you our attention right now. Lord, we say, speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to each one who's listening right now, everyone who's watching. Lord, someone maybe in their car, in their home. Lord, our brothers and sisters, Lord, the staff there at the Bloom Retirement Home in Emporia, those out of state in various areas, right here locally, who just aren't able to be here today. Encourage them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Let it be a personal word that we hear from you that we can take into our lives and live out for your glory and honor. Draw people to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 is kind of be our theme verse here for this time we have this morning, all right? It says, for the word of God is living and powerful. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God can pierce right into our very heart. Some of us know what that we know that experience, don't we? The word of God will come right into our heart. It lays our very intentions, our motives, and our thoughts out before us, before the Lord. And then verse 13 says, because now if you just read that verse 12, in my mind, if you're similar in your thinking, you would just say, well, the word of God is this book we call the Bible, right? But remember in Scripture, the Word of God just doesn't refer to Scripture. The Word of God, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word of God refers to both the Son, Jesus, and the Scripture. So he says, the word of God is living and powerful. Then verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from, notice, his sight, not its sight. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Scripture, the message this morning, is just simply the words of that verse. The Word of God is living and powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful. Will you say that with me? The Word of God is living and powerful. If we get that truth down into our heart, again, it applies to both. Jesus is living and powerful, right? And Scripture is living and powerful. It's not just a book. This is where we would differ with some who would say, well, it's just, you know, it's old ancient writings and it really has no relevance for us today. No, it's very relevant for us today. And I want to make sure every time I have opportunity to share God's word that there's an application. It's not just to learn. That's important. I shared just 2 weeks ago a message called Love Truth, Learn Truth, Live Truth. Last week, I shared a message on I treasure your word in my heart. And then today, I want to share this one and one more next week to wrap up the theme through this month on the word of God. The word of God is living and powerful. But what does that truth mean to us in our day in and day out lives? In our day-to-day lives, what difference does it really make that the word of God is living and powerful? I want to share two applications, I believe, here today that come right out of Scripture that are requirements. In other words, if we didn't have the word of God, we wouldn't be able to experience these two blessings. And here's the first one. We need the word of God for spiritual life. We need the word of God for spiritual life. Now, I'll give you a couple verses for both of these. In the just a couple books over, 1 Peter chapter 1. You can follow along on the screen if you like, and we'll stay right there in Hebrews. But 1 Peter chapter 1, two verses, verses 22 and 23 say this. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, notice that's through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Well, in our natural state, our heart is not pure. It takes the cleansing of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. He applies that blood spiritually to our hearts and lives, and he cleanses. And the Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What's the incorruptible seed? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That means, see, the penalty for sin is breaking God's commandments or God's law. And we've all broken God's law. If we related that to in the natural, if we related it to just something that, someone broke the law here in the physical realm or the natural realm, and they were apprehended, there would be a penalty. There might be a fine. There might be incarceration or worse. Well, in God's law, when we break God's commandments, and we all have, there is a penalty, and that penalty is death. Death means separation. Physical death is when our spirit is separated from our body, but spiritual death is separation from our spiritual life source, God. And that is both now. In other words, it's possible to be physically alive and living what some would call the good life, but be spiritually dead because we're separated from God. So there's spiritual death. And then that will carry on to for eternity. And the Bible tells us that that separation from God forever is called the second death. So there is a spiritual death and there is a physical death. And we wouldn't know about this. We may see the results, but we wouldn't know that not only are we separated from God, we wouldn't know that this God who created us loved us so much that he didn't want us to be separated from us. And he came to this earth. He gave his only son, the holy, sinless Son of God, wrapped himself in a human body in the form of a baby, and 2,000 years ago lived a sinless life and taught us the way of God. He gave us a living example to follow, and he willingly laid his life down on the cross. When he suffered and died on the cross, he was bearing the judgment for our sins. He was paying for our penalty. He died in our place. He experienced that hell of separation from God so that we would not have to. But we would not know that without the Word of God. We would not know that he loved us and he draws us and we can have hope. Do you see how important it is? We wouldn't have spiritual life. We wouldn't know about our lost condition, and we wouldn't know that we could have the hope of salvation through Jesus without the Word of God. So the Word of God is living and powerful. We need it for spiritual life. And when God's Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and just draws us to the truth, to believe with our heart, not just in our head, but with our heart that Jesus is Lord, then a miracle takes place. And we call upon the Lord, and he forgives us of all sin, and we're declared righteous, and we get to stand before a holy God one day, cleansed from all sin like we never sinned, and his Holy Spirit indwells us every moment of this life. And we'll never face anything in this life alone if we're in Christ and Christ is in us. The Word of God is living and powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful. And when that moment takes place, that scripture there in 1 Peter said, born, it's like we're born spiritually. We're born again, but it's a spiritual birth, not physically. It's a spiritual birth, and we enter the family of God as his sons and daughters, and we can call him Father. So there is the blessing of the spiritual life, but there's a second blessing, and that is spiritual growth. So just as surely as we couldn't have spiritual life without the Word of God, in other words, we couldn't have spiritual life without Jesus, and we could not have the spiritual life without truth, without the seed of the gospel that could get into our heart and grow and bear fruit and come forth into spiritual life, and we could not have spiritual growth without the Word of God either. The Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, that means it's up to us, we have a choice here, we're told to do this, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Would you read that verse out loud off the screen with me, and if we're on the screen, we'll all be on the same translation. Would you read it with me? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word of God is spiritual nourishment for us, and we need that spiritual nourishment for life and health and growth and strength spiritually, just as surely as our bodies need good nutrition for health and strength and growth physically. Jesus related the word of God to the physical food. So we need that. He says desire. You say, but Brother Rocky, I don't like to read. You know what? We have so many avenues of getting the word in us now. I'll point you to a couple of free Bible apps or your computer. You can listen to it for free. If you don't like to read, okay. But don't keep, I would just encourage you, if you want to get God's word in you, don't let that apply to God's word. Listen to it, meditate on it, speak it, sing it. We have ways that we can take in that spiritual nutrition. We can feed on the word of God, and we need to feed on God's word. Lord knows we need his strength. We need that stamina. If we're malnourished spiritually, it will show when our faith is tested. Let me give you a scripture reference if you want to write this down, maybe just two of them. Hebrews, if you're right there in Hebrews chapter 4, would you just look over to the next chapter, chapter 5? Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," in other words, you should be leading someone else, you should be sharing, instructing them, "you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food." Let's pause there just a moment. See, in the spiritual realm, we don't plateau very long. It's either we're growing in Christ or we're kind of receding. We're going back. Some people call it back what? Sliding. It's not a back bungee jump. It's a backsliding, and it can be like little. And then next thing you know, we're back kind of like in first grade at things we learned and we heard 20, 30 years ago or 5 years ago, and we got to go back to that level and get back again. So that's part of desiring. We choose our desires. This desire the word of God is not a suggestion. I'm not saying that to be mean. It is a command. God tells us to desire the word. We can set our desire on it. We can set our heart and mind and say, you know what? I may not like to read, but I love the word of God. I need the word of God. I need Jesus. I need his truth in my life. Then he goes on, verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or maturity." That is, and notice this, please, those who by reason of use, is not just enough to learn it. That's where we have to live it out. It's not just enough to hear it. We have to apply it. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when we take in, like right now, you're taking in the word of God, I trust. You're opening your heart. You're allowing God to speak to you. You're taking it in. You're streaming. You're listening. You're taking in the word of God. That's like feeding. That's eating. But then we have to live it out. And we take this truth and we apply it and we do what it says. That's exercising our faith. And brothers and sisters, when we feed on the word of God and we exercise our faith in God, we grow spiritually and we grow more like Christ. And that's really what it's all about. Because it's growing in Christ's likeness that gives him glory and helps us to be an encouragement and a blessing and example to others. Back over in chapter 4 there, the word of God is living and powerful. Let me read you one scripture from Psalms 119 if you want to write it down. Psalms 119 and verse 50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction." That word affliction can mean also oppression. So I'm going through a difficult time in whatever form that may be. Maybe just a challenging time. Maybe just a spiritual oppression. You feel like there's a spiritual attack on you. Maybe there's a sickness in your body. You're going through turmoil in a relationship or some setting or situation. And he says, "This is what comforts me when I'm in that time of testing, when I'm in that time of affliction and oppression, for your word has given me life. Your word has given me life. The word of God is living and powerful. It's life-giving and life-transforming. The word of God is living and powerful. Let me give you just two more. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4. I want to give you a little context here, okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. But I want you to see the context of this, what he's writing about. Would you look at verse 2 of that same chapter? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 says this. He's speaking about the children of Israel that we read about in the Old Testament. And he says, for indeed the gospel, what does gospel mean? Good news, all right? That's the good news is that Jesus came to rescue us from our sins, from the curse of sin and death. For indeed, the good news was preached to us as well as to them. But notice this, the word which they heard did not profit them. Now, does that mean God's word doesn't have power? Why wouldn't it profit people? They heard it. He says the word they heard did not profit them. But it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. Isn't that something? We have to not only hear the word, we have to believe it if we're going to profit from it. If we're going to benefit from it, if we're going to be blessed by it, we have to not only hear it, we have to take it in and believe it in our heart. Brothers and sisters, or anyone, if you're listening, watching right now, we all believe something. Every one of us believes something. Every one of us believes someone. We accept someone's authority. And I want to kind of come along today and challenge every one of us and encourage us to say, let's make sure we believe God. And let's make sure we believe the word of God. Because there are many voices in the world today. There are many deceiving voices. And I'm not just, you know, physical and the spiritual, natural, supernatural voices all the time wanting to, you know, oh my goodness, attack our minds and thoughts and confuse and mislead and deceive. We need to believe God and believe his truth because truth is greater than lies. Truth is greater than deception as sure as light is greater than darkness. The word of God is living and powerful. Verse 3 says this, for we have believed, who have believed, do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is God speaking of that generation. And then he goes on in verse 9 and he says this, Hebrews 4, 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. People of God, God has a rest for us. Amen. Can you say amen? Verse 10. For he who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his works, his struggle, his effort, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. There is a rest that is available to us. And God says, I want you to be diligent. I want you to make every effort. Make sure you enter that rest and stay there. There is a rest for the people of God. And notice, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Unbelief and disobedience to the word of God will rob us of God's rest. Let me say that again. Unbelief will rob us of the rest of God. Disobedience to the word of God will rob us of the rest of God. I want to just basically take the remainder of this time and close with these two, just two more truths that by faith and obedience to the word of God, we can live in this rest. We can enter a rest that God has for us. Thank God there is a rest coming in heaven, but there is a rest right now for the people of God. But we have to believe God and do what he says to enter that rest and to stay in it. That's why he says be diligent to enter it now, to live in it. So the first application is that there is a rest of forgiveness of sin. So we, by faith and obedience, we can live in the rest of forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 10 again says it like this, for he who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Maybe you might think it's a little silly. I just want to straight the point. The Bible says when God had finished creating, making everything, he looked on it and said it was very good. And the Bible says God rested on that seventh day from all his labors. Did he rest because he was tired? He was just so wore out. I was like, oh man, I just need a day off. He didn't say that, did he? The reason he rested was because the work was complete. The work of creation was complete. And when Jesus was on the cross, before he dismissed his spirit from his body into the hands of his Father, what did he say? It is finished. The work of purchasing our ransom to free us from sin and death and to reconcile us to our Father in heaven was complete, and there is absolutely nothing we can add to the perfect work of Jesus on the cross. And all of our efforts to justify ourselves or to offset our sin by doing some supposed good deed, they are all what Hebrews 6:1 calls dead works. That scripture says, therefore, let us leave those elementary teachings and go on to maturity. It says perfection or maturity in Christ, not laying again the foundation of repentance or turning from dead works and putting our faith in the living God. Some of you remember or know this hymn. It says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You think I could sing that? I don't know what key. So we just give it a shot and wing it. Y'all want to jump out onto the thin ice with me? If we sound bad, we'll sound bad together, all right? If you're listening, sorry. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. See, we make our Church of Christ friends happy. Just playing, sorry. There's a verse that says, and I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I love this one more verse. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Come on, let me hear you. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Y'all sound good. Are you resting in the forgiveness of your sins this morning through faith in Jesus as your Lord? There is a rest of forgiveness available to us. And one more, there is a rest of fellowship that we can enter by faith and obedience to the Word of God. So we need the Word of God for spiritual life and spiritual growth, but we need the Word of God, and there is a rest that we can enter, the rest of forgiveness of our sins and the rest of fellowship, close communion with our Savior and Lord Jesus, the Christ. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Again, just staying right here in that same, just going with that same thought. Hebrews 4, 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, isn't he a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us, brothers and sisters, hold fast our confession. Remember, the Word of God is both Jesus and the Bible. Let's confess Jesus as our great high priest. Let's confess Him as our Lord. Let's confess Him as our Savior. Let's confess Him as our King, our Redeemer, our Waymaker, our Healer. Let's hold fast to our confession. Then he goes on in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Even though he was sinless, he was tested and tempted in every way, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and he can relate to our weaknesses." Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes when you're going, or maybe I'll say for myself, maybe you can relate. I'm going through something. It's encouraging to me to know that someone else has been through what I've gone through. And someone can relate, and I can look at them and say, you can actually live through this. You're going to make it through, and you're going to be fine. You're not just going to survive. You're going to thrive making it through. It's a blessing to know that Jesus cares. And not just that he cares, he did something about it. He sympathizes. His heart goes out with us. And that's why he gives this invitation in that next verse, in verse 16. He says in that verse, "Let us therefore come," and is continually come. Let's keep coming. Let's keep coming. Let's keep coming boldly, not arrogantly, but confidently and with openness. We can be honest with the Lord. Let's just keep coming to him and telling him, pouring out our heart to him. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus offers us grace to help. Thank God for his grace that is available to us, abundant grace. And then I'll give you one more scripture. We'll close with this, Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus speaking here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, just two verses. Remember, the Word of God is living and powerful. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Doesn't that just sound good in our day? You'll find rest for your souls. So yes, there is a fellowship of rest of forgiveness. But brothers and sisters, if we have been experienced, we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and his Holy Spirit indwells us, let's not miss the rest of fellowship. Jesus said, "Come to me, get in this yoke with me." In other words, get under my leadership, submit yourself to me, and then walk with me through life. Let's do life together. I like that phrase. So you're in school, go to school with Jesus. Be my fellowship with Jesus on the campus, in the classroom when you're studying. I start back today. You're on a job. Yeah, it's demanding. You got to put in a lot of hours. But be mindful that Jesus is with you if you know him, and fellowship with him. Submit to him throughout the day and just enjoy that fellowship of prayer. Enjoy fellowship of worship and receiving that word, confessing, meditating on the scripture. Have fellowship. Enjoy fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other. We're the body of Christ, not the part of Christ, the body of Christ. We need each other to grow and to be strong. So have that fellowship. Go through those. You're going through a difficult time. You got, you know, issues, family issues, health issues, financial. I know we can all relate, and those needs are very real. But brothers and sisters, and we're in fellowship with the Lord, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world. I'll give you peace," he says, "that no one can take." Our peace is based on who he is and being in right relationship with him, not a false or temporary peace when everything in life for those few minutes is going our way. But Jesus said, "I'll give you my peace. I'll give you grace. I'll give you peace. And I'll give rest to your soul. But you've got to stay close to me to get it." To receive and to believe and stay in that fellowship with him. So let's submit to him every day. You say, "Brother Rocky, that just doesn't seem real. I'm anxious about this. I'm fearful. I can't even rest at night. I can't even sleep. I got all these things just like tormenting my mind and all of these things going through, and you don't know what I have to live with, and I've failed, or I'm in trouble, or I'm tempted. We all have those moments, but here's what we can do. I really believe this. We can use anxiety to draw us closer to the Lord. We can use fear to draw us closer in fellowship to the Lord. We can use worry, we can use struggle, we can use opposition, failure, testing, trial, and temptation to draw us closer to the Lord in prayer, closer to the Lord in worship, to get His word down into our heart and mind and dwell on it and feed on it to strengthen our faith. We can have fellowship with one another, and that is a way we can just keep ourselves when there's always something to rob us of rest on the inside. We just have to stay close to Jesus in order to live it out. And thank God we can. I don't want to come across, none of us arrive in this life. I have times where I feel anxious, fearful, upset, angry, tempted, everything else that we all experience as humans. But then what will we do? Are we just going to magnify that mess and trouble and situation, or the devil and the problem, or the person or the trial, and rob ourselves of rest and keep ourselves in turmoil? Or are we going to run to Jesus and enjoy that fellowship with Him and be blessed and receive what He so lovingly and graciously and abundantly has to offer? Do you believe that today the Word of God is living, it's life-giving, and it's powerful, it's life-transforming? I want to close with this. Just please think about it. You don't need to say anything out loud, but between you and the Lord, in what area would you say, Brother Rocky, or you wouldn't even say it to me, just say, God, I want to grow in Christ-likeness in this area of my life. It's an area where I sense a need right now, and I know I need you, and I know I need to grow in this area. And whatever that area is, just think about it. Is there one area right now this morning that you would say, Lord, would you show me? Or maybe it's very obvious to you. You don't even have to wonder. It's obvious you need to grow and just trust in Lord. Maybe grow to have victory over anxiety, fear, worry, depression, just, again, some addiction, whatever it may be. Then I want to encourage you today to just think how you're going to feed your spirit this week. What scripture will you get? And if you need any help, if you're listening right now, you didn't just let me know on a welcome card. If you don't, fold it up. No one has to see it. But maybe a truth that maybe we could share a scripture together, something that you could think on and meditate on this week and build your faith with that truth. Confess it, sing it, pray it, do it. That's the main thing. And get that word down in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Feed your faith this week. And then enjoy your fellowship with your Heavenly Father through your Lord and Savior, the one who loved you and gave His life for you. So will you do that this week? Again, not asking any details, but how many of you can think of one area right now? You're in this season in your life where you say, I want to grow in this one area in my life. Would you just raise your hand right there where you are? Would you hold it up just a moment, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I want to pray with you. Those who are listening, again, if I can offer a verse, but I encourage you, please feed on. The Word of God is living and powerful. The Word works. We may not, but the Word works. And it'll work if we work it. How about that? All right? That's good theology. Can we stand together and we'll go to the Lord in prayer? I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege. I thank you that I call you Father. I'm thankful that you saved me and you called me from darkness into your marvelous light. You called me from spiritual death into spiritual life, and I'm so grateful. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're with me. You're within me. But, Lord, I confess I need you, and I need your grace. I need your peace. I need your rest, Lord. Now, may you guide us by your Spirit. You saw the hands, but more importantly, you saw every heart. You know that area of need. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just minister to every heart right now. Lord, give us a truth that we can build our lives on, Lord. Your eternal truth. Help us to be mindful that not just the words of Scripture, but Jesus, that you are the Word of God. Help us. Fill us every day. Use us for your glory and honor. And I pray that we would feast on you today. Lord, this day, feast on you this week, on your truth, and strengthen our faith in you. And Lord, I'm so thankful today. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you that you are God. And I pray for victory over your people today. I pray for strongholds to be broken by the power of your word in the name of Jesus. I pray for fear, anxiety, worry. I come against sickness in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the word drive out anything that's not of you. We stand together against spiritual assault and attack and condemnation. And Lord, thank you today. Help us to live by truth and nothing less. Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The word of God is living and powerful.